Werewolves. They are hairy, they are beastly, and tend to only pop out when there's a full moon. Are they real? Could you be one? Have you ever met one? We'll try and explore all of these questions in a few minutes' time. Werewolves, though, go back for centuries in folklore, mythology, and also in the world of cinema. How about this terrifying classic from yesteryear, which starred alongside Oliver Reed, Joan and Gordon from Coventry?
It came from a land of brutality and evil. It came from terror and fear. The curse of the werewolf that was laid on a baby who grew into a man possessed by a monster.
Oh no, I appear to be possessed by a monster.
To this Spanish town, the night brought drinking and dancing, music and girls.
It's my round, what do you fancy?
Make mine a baby sham.
And the moon. The full moon. A man possessed by a frenzied lust to kill and kill and kill. The curse of the werewolf. A man possessed by a desperate need for love, who found in Christina all the passionate sincerity of youth.
Christina, do you love me?
Yes, I do.
Will you marry me, Christina? You say you love me. Will you marry me?
Well, okay then, but we have a shave first.
Oh no, the moon is full. Quick, Christina, get away.
But my love, you've all gone hairy. And look at your teeth. Oh, look at your teeth. And why are the neighbours out with flaming torches?
How?
The werewolf.
Too terrifying for me to go and see, frankly. Certificate 18 available in no cinemas ever. Well done, Joan and Gordon, for starring in that. Deborah Hyde is the editor-in-chief of The Skeptic magazine. She's going to be talking to Coventry skeptics tonight, and she knows lots about werewolves. Afternoon, Deborah.
Good afternoon, Vic.
Would you like to see that, starring Joan and Gordon?
I think I'm probably busy that day, washing my hair or something.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. That's a shame. But I think Gordon was a very convincing werewolf. The werewolf thing, the werewolf idea, it goes back for centuries and centuries and centuries, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. It seems that every culture tells stories, and then every culture we know that writes them down or tells them onto other people has some sort of man-animal. There are were-jackals and were-tigers. So they tend to be at the top of the predatory spectrum. They tend to be animals that would hunt other animals. But apart from that, really, they can be all sorts of animals from all over the world.
Are they always baddies? Because I'm thinking there's Manimal, you know, the 80s classic starring Simon McCorkendale. That was a good show where he turned into an animal to save mankind rather than eat.
Yeah, they're
mankind.
Not always baddies at all. Sometimes it's passed on as a curse. There's a folk tale from Ireland where there's a couple who get the last rites from a priest, and he goes and he sees that even though they're in the shape of wolves, that they are actually good Christians, and he gives them the last rites. It's not their fault. They've been cursed. There are some of them in American Indian tradition where it's a sort of a totemic animal, where people regard themselves as having some sort of honorary brotherhood type of relationship with an animal, bear. You get the same thing with Swedish mythology as well. So they're not always bad, no.
Oh, well, there's a relief there, just in case, you know, somebody you know turns out to be one. My dad's astonishingly hairy. I'm not saying he's a werewolf, but, you know, you never know.
Don't know. How can you tell?
Well, you don't. But the myth seems to have exploded, and they've turned into these sort of werewolves in particular seem to have really captured the imagination of the West. Why do you think that is?
Well, in the 15 and 1600s in Europe, we went through a phase, unfortunately, of witch hunting. And it was just a historical blip. There were all sorts of good historical reasons for it. But in areas where there were natural biological wolves, they sometimes used to think of witches in terms of werewolves. And at the same time, you've sometimes got cases where people, they use lycanthropy as a medical diagnosis. Some days, as today, we might think of people as perhaps temporarily psychotic or depressed or something like that. But lycanthropy was actually a medical diagnosis.
Lycanthropy? Being a wolf?
Well, they called it lycanthropy, and it was thought that you were a afflicted with the sort of the spirit of a wolf. You became melancholic, you would bark at the moon, sometimes you would try to dig up corpses. And we'd recognise it now as just a transient mental illness. But back then they, well, they did too, actually. I mean, they people were treated for it. They were treated with sedatives and things like that. But if you lived, that was if you lived in somewhere enlightened, like Switzerland, where they tried to treat people medically. If you lived somewhere where they were a little more hysterical and they were in the middle of a load of witch trials, you might just equally find yourself being tried for being actually a satanic werewolf and end up being killed.
Goodness.
Yeah, very
wow.
Serious.
Yeah, that's kind of terrifying.
It's absolutely terrifying what people are prepared to do to each other while they're under stress. And I think it's that particular historical phase that has led to our fictional and fantasy sort of archetypes that we have now. There's loads of great novels. I mean, we all know sort of about those romantic novels from the 18th, 19th centuries. And the pace hasn't slowed down in the 20th century at all. We still love all this stuff, even to the point now where this is perfectly good stuff for teenage girls with all of the Twilight stories. So it's a fantastic kind of an archetype for whatever purpose you like to use it for.
Well, also looking back today, when we found that the curse of the werewolf, it starred the impossibly handsome Oliver Reed,
yeah,
as a werewolf. And looking back through all of the films, they all seem to follow a similar pattern. It's a good looking, wholesome chap that is taken on by the spirit of the werewolf and turns bad. I suppose just to make the transformation seem more complete. Did people actually think people would turn into wolves themselves?
For the medical diagnosis, it was just a metaphor. They didn't think people turned into wolves. For the witch trials, yes, there were perfectly respectable, highly qualified theologians who wrote miles and miles of sentences on how people literally could change into werewolves. They could physically change, or how the devil made it appear that they could change. So people did think they could at one point, yes.
Now, obviously, you know, nowadays well, I say no, it's a load of hokum. I would suspect that there aren't many werewolves around, if any. Are there any cultures that still believe in them?
There probably are. There are all sorts of cultures which have all sorts of supernatural beliefs. People, unfortunately, are still accuse people of witchcraft. So I would imagine it's still out there somewhere. It's not a mainstream European belief anymore, but somewhere maybe.
Well, let's hope not. Having a look at some of the films as well this afternoon, some of the makeup is hilarious. And you were saying that you do makeup for
I'm a makeup effects production manager, yes.
How cool is that?
It's fantastic. It's the best job in the world, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I've got the best job in the world. You've got the second
I've
best
got
job.
The second best.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you do then? What does your job involve?
Well, I deal with the business side of it. So it's artistic people who do all of the beautiful artistic stuff. But yeah, we make vampires and werewolves and zombies and things like that. So if you've seen on some special effects in films, we might have been involved with that. But we make prosthetics and artificial teeth and models and things like that.
How cool is that? Do you ever feel the urge to get yourself made over? That perhaps just try a day as a zombie?
I have been.
Have you? What have you done?
Oh, there was a film called Doghouse that came out a few years ago. Mm. I was Stella the barmaid in that. She was a zombie barmaid.
Cool.
I was the 500-year-old queen in Terry Gilliam's The Brothers Grimm a little while previous to that. And the thing is that I never get the glamorous roles. Somebody else gets to look gorgeous. I get to look 500 years old, or like my skin's peeling off or something like that.
Oh, I hear you, sister. doesn't take any makeovers to get me looking like that. But still, to know that you're in there, that's brilliant.
It's a fantastic experience. It's quite arduous being in prosthetics all day, but it's well worth it. Lots of fun.
How strange, though, that you work in makeup with these films and stuff that are doing horror characters, and yet you're the editor-in-chief of the Skeptic magazine. I'm guessing you don't believe in anything.
I don't believe in anything. And the way I look at it is I think I can have 100% of the fun because I don't have any of the fear. I can watch a film and I can enjoy all of it, and then I can walk up the stairs with the lights completely off and I'm not terrified.
Somebody said to me once, right, the one of the bravest things you can do is sit in your house, right, on your own, turn every single light off in the house, open all of the curtains, Then sit, but keep the light on in one room.
Mm-hmm.
Then sit in the doorway of the room with the light on, looking into the lit room, but with the dark house behind you. And I tried to do it and got the willy so far up myself I couldn't breathe. It was terrifying.
That sounds tempting. I'd like to try that.
Try it. It's really eerie. I don't know why it's so scary, but it is. I believe in everything. Literally. Everything.
You believe in ghosts?
Oh, man, yeah, everything. If there's a noise in the night, there was a noise last night, and it was my cat, her go-cat.
Mm.
I was convinced there was somebody scratching at the back door, and it was probably an alien. Also, that is the way my head works. Oh, hedgehogs. Have you ever heard a hedgehog scream?
What do they sound like?
Like a person screaming.
Really?
Yeah, hang on. Where's my ladies? Wait, this is Wayne Roberts, who's our Speedway correspondent. Mm. That's what a hedgehog sounds like.
Oh, no.
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So don't get in a mess. I went down one night just with my little golf clubs in my hand because I heard that scream. And I thought, if there's a ghost, I'm having it over the fairway. And then opened the back door and there's this little hedgehog there. And then he did it again as he sort of snuffled away.
Oh,
and
wow.
Luckily, he was cute. Otherwise, I'd have knocked him.
Right.
Into next week. Listen, thank you for telling us all about werewolves. We'll talk some more in a moment, if we may. For now, though, it's just coming up to 3:30. And it was Caroline who asked for it. She said, I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trade Vic's and his hair was perfect. Ah, said I. Yes, that's got to be Werewolves of London. It's a brilliant tune and a good shout. Thank you very much indeed for that lovely Caroline. And I have been asked as well if I could mention that American Werewolf in London is being shown at the Outdoor Film Festival at the Red Line in Hunningham on the August bank holiday weekend. I can't watch American Werewolf in London. I can't. It's absolutely terrifying. Warren Zevon, Vic, says Dave, you enjoy that then. Everybody's enjoying it. Now, with me in the studio at the moment, our special guest is Deborah Hyde, editor-in-chief of The Skeptic magazine, who's going to be speaking to Coventry Skeptics tonight at the Albany, all about werewolves. Did you enjoy that song?
I love that song. It's one of my favourites.
Oh, it's a cracking... Well, it would be, wouldn't it? Because seeing as you don't mind a horror film. American Werewolf in London, do you enjoy that too?
I love that. The special effects were... The makeup effects were by a guy called Rick Baker, and they were absolutely classic. Amazing at the time.
I've only seen a little bit of it, because it was just too scary. Scooby-Doo is too scary for me. It genuinely... I watched a bit of it and then said, no, I need to go to bed because I'm not feeling very well. Stayed upstairs. And that was the nearest I've ever got to a proper grown-up horror film.
It's got the classic transformation scene where the wolf actually emerges out of the human face, where the snout comes out of the mouth. It's fantastic.
I just want a bit I didn't like. But you look at some of the werewolf transformations in the early 60s.
Yeah.
It is proper comedy, man under a table. there's a big face, and then next minute he's got a mask on.
Yeah, well, before they started to do physical transformations in real time, and also especially before they had computer-generated imagery, then they really, all they had to do was just cut away and then you went back and the next time you saw the werewolf, he was a little bit hairier. So by modern standards, it does look a bit naff sometimes.
It looks rubbish. But American Werewolf in London, that's an old film, isn't it? So for the special effects to be so good even now, that must be what, early 80s?
Yes, I think it was. They were groundbreaking. They were absolutely groundbreaking at the time, yeah.
When you're watching films, being an expert in the makeup field, do you just think, oh, ropey makeup? Or are you able to enjoy a film and sort of put that out of your head?
If it is a ropey makeup, yeah, I can't not stare. The worst thing is when you see edges, because there are prosthetics, obviously they aren't the same as the skin, and you have to make a beautiful blended edge. I say you have to, I don't, the artists do. It's a wonderful skill, they're very good at it, and if somebody has been hurried up too much and you can see enough makeup, it does spoil it, unfortunately.
Is there a film you've looked at and you just thought the makeup is the most rubbish I've ever seen?
Now let me think.
You're allowed to say.
I probably wouldn't say where I thought the makeup was really awful, but I think there are several where I think the makeup is absolutely beautiful. Aging makeups, actually, funny enough, going off the horror theme, are the hardest things of all to do.
Are they?
Yeah, so when you get an aging makeup that actually moves beautifully, that's where you look and you think, wow, that's gorgeous.
Doctor Who, I think they do a very good job.
They do, and they've got... The thing about them is that they're on a very tight schedule. They've got to do a lot very quickly, so anything that doesn't look perfect, you can understand exactly why, and I think that, you know, they create different characters. It's wonderful.
Mm, definitely. But anyway, we're not supposed to be talking about makeup. I'm just interested. We are talking about werewolves. Have you ever suspected that you might be a werewolf?
No, I don't think. I think I am too much of a sceptic, really. I think I would have to sort of let other people think that.
Yeah, well, you never know. You never know what people are thinking about you. So you're going to be putting the vampire myth under the spotlight tonight, then, with Commentary Sceptics?
I do a talk on vampires. Tonight we're going to be concentrating on werewolves, but we will include vampires a bit too.
Oh, well, we'll look forward to that. Coventry Skeptics meeting tonight at the Albany. Enjoy that. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Deborah Hyde for popping in. It's been a real pleasure to meet you.